Hallelujah. Are you excited about that at all? Hallelujah. One day we're going to see the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The object of our worship and our praise. We're going to see Him. Hallelujah. Sometimes people wonder, how can you worship and praise and sing about somebody you've never seen? Oh, I've seen His power and His majesty. I've seen His works performed. But one day we'll see Him face to face. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I want to be sure that I give Him praise and glory and worship Him while I'm down here. Hallelujah. While I have a voice, while I have strength in me to worship His name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians and singers, for entertaining the Spirit of the Lord this morning. I got a lesson in here somewhere if I can find it. Here we go. Praise the Lord. Good to be in Sunday school. I'm doing somewhat better. I didn't know a virus bug could live that long. Lord, have mercy. I saw in the news the other day, it was talking about the flu and all the different strains of it. Lord, they got chicken flu, pig flu, all kind of mess. I'm telling you, it's a wonder. Thank God He keeps His hand on us. And this old body may not be healed when I want it to be healed, but it is fearfully and wonderfully made. And in due time, it will recover. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to speak just a little while on a subject that has already been mentioned in the prayer room. It has already been sung about this morning. And that is simply worship. Nothing earth-shattering, nothing new, but just about worship. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 149, starting with verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of saints. Let's don't be guilty of not singing when we come. And I know some like this and some like that and some like the other. But Lord, don't ever let me fail to lift my voice when we're singing in the congregation of the saints. Amen. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Now, why would it go from talking about praising and all of a sudden let it be a two-edged sword in their hand? Let me tell you what praise and worship will do. To execute, verse 7, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all His saints. You have the right to praise and worship and to bind everything that comes against you as a Christian and as a human being. That's what the scripture says. This honor have all the saints. And he ends the chapter, praise ye the Lord. Let's lift our hands right now and praise Him. God, simply for who you are. And we worship you, Lord, this morning. Hallelujah. We are so thankful for the ability, Lord, to bind the things that would try to harm us, things that would try to come into our heart and our life. Lord, we ask that you would touch and anoint this lesson this morning. Touch me, O God. Touch the saints here today. And let the Holy Ghost speak through us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you very much. I tell you, if we had a thought today, it would be our God is awesome. And He is worthy of all our meditation and our worship. When we read those scriptures in Psalm just now, although the Bible invites us to praise God, we sometimes may not be real sure about how to go about doing it. But it gives us several suggestions in this scripture today. It says, in the dance and with the voice and with musical instruments. God enjoys His people. We are His creation, y'all. And God enjoys His people, and He enjoys us praising and worshiping Him. It's a reciprocal thing. When we talk to God, we need to let God talk to us. I've told you lots of times. It's not monologue, it's dialogue. Back and forth. Amen. But God has always desired to communicate with mankind. But one thing He cannot tolerate, and that is sin. He cannot tolerate it. Amen. Although we failed in our relationship with our Creator, with Adam and Eve, but God promised a plan that would restore redemption and restore that fellowship. And in due time, we all know God manifest Himself in flesh and came. And now we, as the redeemed, must worship Him and do worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. The first thing I want to talk about is the person of our worship. And I hesitate to use that word person. God is not a person. But for the lack of a better term, I guess we could say the God of our worship. But who should we worship? The one true God. On Mount Sinai, God wrote on the tables of stone these words, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That's Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. And in the book of Revelation, God said, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." Revelation 1 and 11. And truly He is the first and the last. He is the Almighty. Beside Him, there is no God. The Lord, our God, Deuteronomy 6 said, is one Lord. And Him only shall you serve. Amen. So He is the one true God, the only one we worship. In the Old Testament, when you read it, it's recorded a lot of times about those that worship the several different kinds of idols. A lot of wood and stone and idols of Baal and Ashtaroth and a lot of others. And even the New Testament records Paul going about into the known world and preaching to Gentile countries where there was widespread idolatry. And I tell you, Paul, he had an ongoing battle trying to teach these people about idol worship and the detriments of idol worship and trying to free them from the bondage of idolatry. And I tell you, God's principles have not changed. Amen. He is still opposed to idolatry. He is a jealous God. He will not share His glory with anyone, any other God, anybody. Amen. God chose Israel to be His people, and He was very possessive of them as a husband is toward his wife, and he wanted their affection, and he wanted their worship and their faithfulness. And even though it would grieve him when they would turn to idol worship, he was faithful to take their repentance and have them return to him rather than completely divorcing them altogether. And you can read about this if you read the book of Hosea and over in Jeremiah. They preached the same message. They told Israel the same thing. You may wander off, but I tell you, He is a loving God, and He wants your repentance, and He will take you back rather than divorce you. And I've been guilty of that myself, putting things ahead of God. I tell you, I want Him to be number one in my life. And just like Israel of old, people today have problems with idolatry. And you say, well, I don't worship idols of stone and wood. It doesn't have to be stone and wood. I tell you, in today's world, people worship things like careers, possessions, families, hobbies. There's a whole lot of things you can put ahead of God. And it can become your object of worship, your idol of worship. But I'm telling you, the tangible and the temporal things of this world, they're going to fade away. They are fixing to burn up. They are not going to last. But the thing that is going to last is eternal God. Amen. And he will not share our affection with other things that come between him and us. I tell you, he still desires and deserves our devotion and worship. Surely the scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these other things will be added to you. And when those things are added to you, don't forsake seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen. Don't let that become your object. Let him be first. Amen. The church, that includes us. The church is the espoused bride of Jesus Christ. And like I said, he is a jealous God. And he wants us to be faithful to him. When I married, I guess they still use all the same words, most of them, through sickness and health and death do us part. But there was a phrase in there that said, forsaking all others. And I took that vow. And my wife took that vow. And it simply means we are going to be true and faithful to our spouse. God desires and deserves the same measure of faithfulness in the relationship with him. Nothing less. Amen. So we need to be faithful to him. And the God of our worship, the next thing, ministering to the Lord. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, according to the law of Moses, the Levites ministered to the Lord in the office of priesthood. And God was very specific concerning their rituals or what they did to go through the priest. He was very specific about their apparel. You can read what kind of apparel they had to have on, how they operated, and how their conduct should be, and every detail of the service. And he demanded reverence and respect for all of his laws and precepts, and there was no room for being careless and lackadaisical and sloppy in performing the duties of the priesthood, or they would be slain. And we know about the two guys, Hophni and Phinehas, I believe it was, that were offering strange fire to God and doing things. God slew them. He is serious about performing the duties of priesthood. Well, you might say, well, you know, I know maybe the Lord holds the ministry to a higher standard. And talk. I'm going to tell you what the scripture says. It says you and myself are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. If he's calling me royal priesthood, I have the responsibility of just like the ministry of performing my duties in praise and worship and ministering to God just like the minister does. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not exempt simply because we may be lay members or what have you. But we are a royal priesthood, and we should minister to the Lord, serving him and worshiping him with a whole heart. I tell you, it's a privilege. It is a privilege to be a Gentile member of the seed of Abraham. This thing was given to the Jews, and then it was given to the Gentiles. And I know I see a lot of things I read in here. It talks about how it encourages us as a grafted in Jew or as a Gentile member of the seed of Abraham to get it back to the Jew, to help him understand the Messiah has come and he's the one we worship. Amen. Amen. So certainly it is our privilege to sit together, as the scripture says, in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Amen. The next thing is his worthiness. And to be worthy simply means to meet certain expectations or equal to an anticipated value. I tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ paid the price. He is worthy. He was the worthy Lamb. Therefore, our dependence on Him for salvation, we can do nothing to become worthy of that. We're simply saved by grace. He became our sacrifice, took our place at Calvary, and purchased our freedom. And what is our obligation? Our obligation is to give Him glory and give Him honor because He is worthy of our praise and our worship, simply because He shed His blood on Calvary and gave me a way of escape. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He met the requirement for sin, paid the price for freedom. And I tell you, we glorify Him not only simply because of saving us, but we glorify Him simply because of who He is. We adore Him because He's God Almighty. Amen. And we need no other reason. I don't need another reason to adore Him other than His majesty and His greatness is reason enough for me to worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next thing is the preparation of our worship. The practice of private daily worship. And we should not be guilty of relegating our worship to a specific time, like Sunday morning or Tuesday night, and just kind of push God to the side for the remainder of the week. That's not the way it should work. Believers, as believers, we should focus on God to the point where we have a continuous attitude of praise and worship. And you say, well, I can't stay on my knees 24. That's not what I'm talking about. You can live in an attitude of prayer and praise and worship every day. Amen. Amen. And true worship, it involves more than simply our thoughts. It affects our emotions. The part we call our heart, that inward part of us, we call our heart the seat of our emotions. And that's why that acceptable worship to God must come from a clean and a pure heart and clean hands. The scripture says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, you have to be qualified to worship. You have to be qualified to worship. Don't bring God worship